Welcome to WWER's Porch Talk. Today's episode is a special edition. I have the captain and educator of the Edna Lockwood. The Edna Lockwood was here in Colonial Beach for touring a couple of weeks ago during the Potomac River Fest, and they have returned because they love Colonial Beach so much.
That's right.
On their way back towards the bay, coming back down the Potomac. So with me I have Rosie DiMatteo, who's the captain, and Matt Engel, who's the educator. Let's start by talking about the boat itself a little bit.
Yeah, so Edna Lockwood, like you say, is 130 years old. It was built in 1889 in Tilghman Island, Maryland, by a young gentleman of 24 years old named John B. Harrison. And I believe it was his seventh or eighth boat that he had built, his seventh or eighth bug eye. Now, bug eye is basically the evolution of the indigenous dugout canoe carried to its extreme in the Chesapeake Bay. So when Europeans first arrived 400 odd years ago, Native Americans had dugout canoes, which were built from fallen trees where they burned out the center of the canoe, and Europeans used them for a while when they first arrived, but eventually wanted bigger craft where they could put more things and more people in them, and eventually attach sails to them, and so they started pinning logs together, and Edna is 9 logs pinned together, built large enough so she could tow a dredge when dredges were re-legalized, and decked over so that they could work that dredge.
And how long is the boat?
On deck, she's 54 feet and sparred length. So from tip of her bowsprit to the end of her main boom, she's about 85 feet.
Cool. So talk about what hangs off that boom. That's another interesting feature of the boat.
The push boat there at the,
yes,
at the back of the boat?
Yeah.
So the boat has a push boat that's pretty much just a diesel engine. It's probably not even seaworthy on its own. And so we drop that boat from the davits when we want a motor and chain it up to a chalk or a little push plate in the back of the boat. And it works like an outboard or a tugboat.
Right, and for listeners, I am going to post some pictures of the boat and this arrangement, because hearing it described verbally, you might not be able to picture it, but it really looks like a little tugboat. It looks like a lifeboat when it's in the davits, and then it's dropped and sort of nosed up to the rear of the Edna Lockwood and becomes a source of engine power that they don't otherwise have. So it's interesting in that bit. So So oystering was the whole point. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's correct. Oystering during the oyster season, that would have been the main source of income. Edna Lockwood and other bug eyes would also use the boat in the off season. There's records of Edna Lockwood helping people move their homes from one area to another. So essentially, like, you'd use a pickup truck or a box truck now, and also could fill their hold with produce to bring to market.
Interesting. And the other interesting feature of the boat that I've found, you might want to speak to it or not, because of the shallow waters that oystering's done in, this is my belief anyway, it has what amounts to a dagger board. Right, for a keel. It has a retractable keel. Is that
okay? Yeah, that's correct. It has a centerboard in the middle, and, you know, I'm honestly not sure the distinction between a centerboard and a dagger board. I think a centerboard hinges and a dagger board pushes down, if I was pushed for an answer on that.
Yeah.
And we have a hinging centerboard. So we can get into about 6 feet of water with it down and into about 3 feet of water when it's up. So Edna was designed for shallow water dredging.
Right.
Like you say.
So talk about the masts and the sails a little bit. Either one of you.
I don't want to talk the whole time.
Yeah, so she has 2 masts, 3 sails. A lot of people... So the main mast in the back is actually shorter than the foremast, that mast up front there. And a lot of people, I feel like, argue about what it's called. But our main sail is in the back, and then our foresail is in the middle of the boat. And the jib is up forward. And it's just it's a bug eye. That's the way their rig is. Nobody can really argue with it.
And yet they do.
We always say, show us your bug eye and tell us how it's named.
Right.
All the pieces.
So the observation I had as a kind of a layperson unfamiliar with this boat until I saw that in the Lockwood, was that the masts looked like basically 2 telephone poles. Right, they're single, look like tree trunks, probably are tree trunks, right? And they're both sort of tilted towards the aft a bit. What was the reasoning behind that?
Looks good.
It does look good. Think Titanic. You know, when you think of the tilt, this kind of has about the same angle as the exhausts, I guess, on the Titanic.
And Matt, you can add on to this. I feel like I'm going to take your words right here. But at one point, before bug eyes and boats at that time, they believed triangles were the strongest, and where the stays came down that hold up the mast, those mm-hmm. big tarry-looking metal shrouds coming down, where those come down and to the top of the mast, it was supposed to be stronger in that angle to it. And then it just became a thing. Everyone does it now. It just looks cool.
So I'm a boat guy. I could geek out on the boat stuff all day long. I'm at risk of probably losing listeners here. So let's talk about you guys a little bit. So Rosie is the captain, and Rosie, to my eye, looks to be a millennial. I won't go any further than that about age, but she's a generation younger than I am, I would say. And tell the story about how someone gets to captain a boat that's that big at such a young age.
I started working on big sailboats. Really, that was when I started sailing in 2013. Relatively newer than most people who are probably in the industry right now.
So 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. So I started out in Key West, sailing some sunset sails, some schooners down there, and I just fell in love with it and continued working on other tall ships around the country, mostly the East Coast, a little bit in the Great Lakes, and down in Florida. And I came up to the Bay a few years ago.
So hold on a second. So
go ahead.
On our normal Porch Talk episodes, we'll hear golf carts going by, but we're sitting at the point at the Colonial Yacht Center, and you're hearing boats exiting the creek and heading out into the river in the background. So a little different kind of Porch Talk. Sorry. Carry on.
It's neat. I moved to the Bay Area a few years ago, 2 years ago, to work on a boat. And I actually was going to the museum often with the boat and watched Edna get her restoration, which was really cool, and found out that they were going to be trying to send it around the bay for 5 months, and thought what a cool job that would be.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you applied.
Pursued it.
So Matt, what's your background? I know you're the educator, and I assume that means when you get to port, you're the guy that's supposed to point and talk. but tell me more. What's your role, and how did you come to be on the Edna Lockwood for this 5 month cool journey you guys are on?
Yeah. So my title is educator. There's only 2 of us on the boat, and so Rosie does a lot of education as well, and I am also the only crew, so we both wear a few hats, I guess. And I've been working for the Chesapeake Bay Maritime Museum in St. Michael's for a few years now. I originally started at the museum to create a kids' after-school boat building and summer camp program, and the summer camp was more of a water-based experiential education rather than boat building. But similar to Rosie, when I saw the project, the Edna Lockwood tour come along, it was something I couldn't pass up. So I said bye to the kiddos and jumped ship.
Not your kids, but the camp
kids. That's right. That's right.
That's good. Just in case anybody might misinterpret that. Yeah, that's interesting. So talk about the mission, the summer, you know, the tour. Where you started? How long is it going for? Where have you been? You know, either one or share it. You know.
Yeah. So I'll start and just talk about the Chesapeake Bay Maritime Museum has a working shipyard. It's one of the great parts of our museum. During the Edna Lock, I don't think I talked about the rebuild.
Feel free.
Yeah. So up until a couple of years ago, Edna still had her original 9-log bottom. In the 70s, the museum did a restoration to the top sides and deck of the boat. But by 2015, the original 120 odd year old logs were on their way to mulch, and so the museum started a restoration. Edna Lockwood's a National Historic Landmark, and so the National Park Service came out and took laser scans of the inside and the outside of the hull, and used those points to identify the thickness and location and shape of all of the logs. And we use that to create a model of the 9-log bottom and shipwrights in our working shipyard. Two or three shipwrights and three or four apprentices, depending on the phase of the project, rebuilt an identical bottom. The top of Edna was detached from the old bottom and then craned on to the new bottom and reattached, relaunched. So the long answer to your question here is that we're on a 5-month heritage tour of the bay to show the boat, talk about the restoration, oystering history in the bay and the little oyster ecology, and those traditional shipbuilding skills.
Interesting.
And so we're about a month in now, I guess, probably just a little over a month in. So we have about 20 ports that we're trying to hit on our trip, and we're going all over the bay. So we started out, went to Chestertown and kind of came around the middle of the bay here. We were in Tangier and came all the way up the Potomac, and we just got back from D.C. Now we're headed out and we'll go up north, towards Haverty Grace and Northeast, and come September we'll be all the way down in Yorktown and Reedville.
Oh, interesting.
And then October we'll kind of be back in the middle of the bay.
Yeah.
So we're going everywhere. Eastern Shore, Western Shore.
And ultimately the Edna Lockwood will be back at the Maritime Museum as its home port?
Yeah, as soon as we'll be back in time for our annual Oyster Fest in October.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be there and it'll go back to being an exhibit at the museum when we're finished.
Right. So I was intrigued when I first started talking to Rosie on their last trip through at Riverfest, and I had a quick peek at the boat. You guys are kind of camping right, yeah. for 5 months, right? The boat apparently had no accommodations at all for sort of overnight human stay, and you guys have done some outfitting of that, but just for the listener's sake, these guys are kind of roughing it, right? and so, you know, it's a cool project, but it's not without some sacrifices.
It's not the most glamorous accommodations on these calm, flat days. It gets pretty hot.
Right. Well, we're just maybe 50 yards from dockside. On at 4:30 in the afternoon, so in 30 minutes, you have access to air conditioning for the duration of the evening.
Yeah.
All right. So interesting. Okay, so talk a little bit more about, like, the experience of this first month, right? You've made a few stops. You set sail a month ago. No one's ever sailed one of these things in recent years. You know, just kind of, there's got to be some stories, right? Who have you met? What challenges have you had with the boat that hadn't been rigged for, you know, 50 years or how long it'd been?
Yeah, I mean, we've had some really great sails. Actually, when we left here when we left to go up the Potomac, as soon as we got under that 301 bridge, we, like, screamed up towards Fairview Beach, and it was really great.
Makes all the camping worthwhile. You only have a sailing day like that, right?
Exactly. We've learned that Edna really likes beam reaches.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of the...
Yeah, she likes the wind coming from the side of the boat. Does not like the wind coming from the front of the boat. And does a lot better under sail than under motor.
Yeah.
The Bugeye was eventually replaced by the Skipjack, which also has a push boat. And so there is some crossover in knowledge there. You know, it hasn't completely been lost. There have definitely been a lot of a lot of things that we've had to learn and change about Edna Lockwood in particular, because it has been a long time since she's done a long duration tour like this.
Yeah, just like where a line, like one of the little ropey bit lines, should go, and in relation to others, the right weight, so it doesn't chafe on anything. We're looking at old pictures a lot and things like that to try to figure it out.
So, Matt, when you were talking about the log restoration, you were talking about it as if you were intimately involved in that. How involved were you? Just watching every day, or did you, you know, you were talking about the imaging and seemed like you were kind of plugged in.
Yeah, so more towards the just watching end of the scale, and probably giving too much unsolicited advice. A couple of the shipwrights on the project, I guess the project manager and the lead shipwright are boat building schoolmates of mine. I went to a boat building school 15 years ago, and they were both, the leads on the project. We all worked in the same shipyard, but I was not on the project. I'd have coffee with them every morning and tell them what they were doing wrong, and they of course wouldn't listen to anything, and they know better than I do. But it's fun to give friends a hard time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when some of the major operations came around, like craning the top from the old bottom to the new bottom, I'd help out with that. But mostly I just got a look into their world every day.
So I think, Rosie, when you and I talked last time, you said you thought that the hull speed on that boat was probably around 9, and that you had one great sail on the way in. You're up in the 7s. We're pretty thrilled about that. That sail up the river last time, similar experience?
Yeah, I don't know if we quite hit 7.
Yeah.
But it was... I don't think there was any more wind than there is today. Like, right about now. It was probably 5 to 10, maybe.
Yeah.
10 when we were going up, and so it was kind of...
You're making 6 with that little bit of wind. That's pretty... That's not bad.
Yeah.
So, when you have the push boat behind, how much worse is it? I'm sure it's significantly so, but...
First off, it's really loud.
Yeah.
So, get the earmuffs out. And she kind of gets squirrely at the wheel. You don't quite have the same steerage. You turn it a little bit left to counter something, and it goes.
And the push boat pushes the stern around.
You're kind of zigzagging. And when you're under sail, it's just much easier to keep her where you want it.
Yeah. Well, here's hoping that continues.
Yeah.
So we're sitting on the riprap here outside of the Tiki Bar at at Dockside Restaurant trying to find a place that wasn't too noisy. We were sitting on the boat getting ready to have a wonderful conversation and then a string trimmer cranked up across the creek from us, so we moved here. But we're a little bit uncomfortable sitting on these rocks, it looks like, so I think I'm going to pause this and see if we can find a better place to sit and maybe wrap up. We talked a little bit earlier about the mass and the rake, the tilt. I think it's something like 15 degrees, I read online mm-hmm. somewhere. And by the way, while I'm mentioning online, if you get curious listening to this interview with these two folks about the boat, there's a bunch of stuff online. Look for Edna Lockwood. Just Google search that and you'll find all about the restoration, and you'll find out about Rosie and Matt and their trip and all their stops and things like that. But anyway, one of the things that intrigued me when I saw the boat before was how the sails are attached to the mast, right? So there's no tracks like you would see on a modern sailboat. The sails are attached to these what appear to be sort of bamboo hoops, but I think you told me they were ash last time.
Pretty sure. I'm right. Sticking to that. Yeah. Sticking with ash.
And they're, you know, if the mast is roughly a foot in diameter, it tapers as it goes up. Mm-hmm. These hoops are that big, right? There's these huge wooden hoops that go around the mast and hook to the sails.
Yeah. So the masts themselves are pine, and the mast hoops are ash, and they're steam bent. Matt can tell you more about the steam bending of them. But yeah, they're attached to the sail just with a few pieces of rope wrapped around it. I describe it as, imagine as we're pulling the sail up the mast, that the mast hoops just go up the mast just like a shower curtain, like a vertical shower curtain.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. They look like shower curtain rings, only like eight times the size of the ones in your shower.
And the sails themselves look to be canvas, but it's actually a material called Oceanus. And it's now used on most traditional boats just to give it that look, but a lot easier to deal with and maintain.
So the stops you've had since you were here before, tell me where you stopped and what interesting people you may have met, or you know what stands out between your last visit to Colonial Beach and today?
Kind of the two big stops we had upriver from here were National Harbor and DC Wharf.
Yeah, the docks are beautiful there. Is the wharf the one that's near the stadium?
And yeah, we rode our bikes to the Nationals area there as well, so it must be pretty close.
So how are the crowds? Did you get much interest while you were in those locations?
Yeah, it depended on the day. I think the interest was different. And so the conversations were a lot different, I felt like.
It was a lot of explaining about the boat and what it did and what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Maybe more basic details of all of those things.
Yeah.
And you didn't get as many in-depth questions about it.
Right. Well, you're more of a boating community here and probably on the rest of your journey up and down the bay than D.C., right? That's more metropolitan. I'm not surprised, I guess.
Yeah, the smaller towns, people who hear that we're going there want to come see the boat, and they make an effort to get there if they don't live there. They come from the surrounding area.
And I think Colonial Beach did a really good job of promoting Edna's arrival.
I thought so, too. It was. I heard about it through multiple different ways, and all of that promotion happened before our radio station even launched, right? So it wasn't us, right? We can take no credit for that. But I thought it was well promoted.
Yeah, I think Saturday here was the most visitors that we've had in one day on the boat.
We just did the math the other day. We've seen, in the six stops we've had, we've actually seen over 1,400 people.
Really?
Yeah, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I think another thing that sticks out in my head in regards to here versus DC as well is that there were multiple people here that came from, you know, 1 or 2 hours or more away to see the boat, which was really, surprising and exciting to me.
Gratifying, I would think, right? Because you guys are putting a lot of work and giving up a whole summer and part of a fall. So, well, this has been really, really fun getting to talk to you guys a second time.
Yeah, everyone's been so nice to us here.
All right. Well, thanks so much for taking the time this afternoon. And this has been another edition of WWER's Porch Talk. And again, thanks to Matt Engel and Rosie DiMatteo for taking the time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Fun.